Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
NFL analyst on CBS, Charles Davis, joining us this morning. What's going on, Charles?
Hey, Tiffany. How's everyone doing today?
We are doing good, and we know you were out at the Senior Bowl, so you're holding it down out there getting a look at everyone. How's it going so far?
It's going well. It's going really well. We had great weather, which, you know, at my age is huge, right? You wake up in the morning first thing, well, it looks like rain today. No, it looks good today. This is fantastic. How you doing? So I've become my parents already. Yes, I have. But the weather's been great. The kids have been good. We had practices yesterday. The American team and the national team had their first practice on the field. And fun to get back out there and watch these guys go through it, because it just depends on the layoff time for some of them. Some of them just came off of playing the national championship games, right? Some of them, their season ended in November, and this is their first time back out there. So I'm always conscious of the ramp-up process, hoping no one has a pull or anything early that takes them out of the game. And then, as always with these all-star games, who you see day one is not likely you're going to see all of them by game day, especially if they perform well in practice. By Saturday, some of them may, I had a good week of practice, may not be able to go in the game, as you might understand. But it's fun to see these guys get themselves ready for the NFL.
And it's great to see you doing another year holding it down at NFL Network with Rhett Lewis and Daniel Jeremiah as well.
Yes, yes. Always fun to be with those guys. I learn a lot when I'm there. My colleagues, obviously. And then, of course, being around these NFL scouts, player personnel, front office people. It really is kind of the who's who of the NFL during this time frame, minus, you know, the top people from Kansas City and Philadelphia, because they have something bigger that they're trying to get ready for right now.
Yeah, Charles, I'm with you on the weather, and I look at it too. I'm an old soul, I guess. I'm already in my 40s, so it doesn't matter. But I'm not an expert like you. I'm not an analyst. But I was watching some film on this Mike Green from Marshall. Yeah. And, man, he's got a good first step. He's got the swim move. He's really fast. He's good at shedding the tight ends when they try to block him. That's just all – maybe I'm wrong on half that. What have you seen from him? Because to me, if these offensive linemen don't get their hands on him immediately, he's by them.
Yeah, I think that you nailed the scouting report from my perspective. So, you know, I'm no one to grade anyone, believe me. But I love everything you said about him. And, you know, he played around 230, 231, you know, that sort of a deal when he was at Marshall. And that first step was devastating. You know, exactly what you're talking about. If you don't get your hands on him fast, and not just get your hands on him, you got to get your hands on him with some force. because if you don't, you're not going to turn him, you're not going to alter his path, and he's going to go right by you, as you mentioned. He's going to go right through you at times. He'll surprise you with a bull rush. But he came here at 251. And so you always worry just a little bit, ooh, that's 20 pounds. Is it good 20 pounds? Is he carrying it well? Well, we watched him yesterday, and he looked like he was 231. So everything that you said, I'm co-signing on. He's a terrific player, and he was a finalist for the Ted Hendricks Award, which is the top defensive end in the country. The guy who beat him out is also here. That's the young man from Boston College, Donovan Ezereku.
Charles, one of the guys that I've been focused on a little bit throughout this process, and obviously, look, you know as well as anybody, the Atlanta Falcons need help in the defensive front seven. Got to have space eaters. You got to have guys that can play in space. I really like, so far, Walter Nolan. I know that you spoke on him a little bit yesterday in you guys' coverage. What do you think of him as a prospect, and where do you see a guy like that falling in the draft?
Yeah, I think he's going to be he's got a very good chance of being a first-round guy. I think most people, when they start ranking players, you know, whether you do a top 20, a top 30, a top 40, a top 50, whatever it is, he's going to be in the 20s. It would be my estimation, somewhere in that neighborhood. Some may have him a little bit higher. Some may have him a little bit lower. His production numbers are not what you expect, quote unquote, when we turn on, you know, when we start researching people. But when you watch him come off the ball, elite get off, quick first step, as we talked about with Mike Green, got some power in his hands to shock an offensive lineman, and good movement skills. And we saw that yesterday. He was that kind of the one that no matter who you were looking at in the defensive front, when he was there, his jersey would flash first, you know, when the ball was snapped. So you really like what you're seeing from him. Texas A&M transfer to Ole Miss. And keep an eye on him. He's the type of guy that I think that a lot of people are going to like. Would not surprise me at all to hear his name called first round.
Yeah, I know we're really just asking you about defensive guys because in Atlanta, that's what we want, Charles. That's what we—that's what we feel like we need.
Please. That's what we thought we were getting last year.
I'm going to stop you real quick, and then you can go ahead and take it from there. I can't remember the last time I had a conversation when I talked about the Falcons, and I mean legitimately that we didn't talk about. So who's the edge rusher the Falcons can get? I'm not talking, you know, this draft year.
Yeah.
I'm talking about years.
Yeah.
And we always end up with the same thing. Where did you go, John Abraham? I mean, it kind of feels like that, you know, Vic Beasley, one big year and that was it, you know? So always is the question, who is that edge rusher they can get? So on and so forth. So anyway, you take it and run from there. But I was just going through my head, and I was like, well, if we're talking Atlanta, we're going to talk edge rusher at some point.
Same old conversation.
Well, that's why I started with Mike Green. I'll be honest, I'll take Walter Nolan right now too because he's a big guy, you know, a little bit more inside. Another guy that's popped, and he's just not – you know, I don't know what to make. We've watched some stuff on him. Shamar Stewart, he looks good. I'm not sure if he was the best player on his defensive line last year. I know Nick Scorton was pretty good too, but what have you seen from Shamar Stewart?
Yeah, he's another guy that I'll put to you this way. Plays on the edge, right? A little bit more of a power edge player, in my estimation, than that silky smooth, you know, super upfield guy, that sort of deal. Not that he can't do those sorts of things, but you're gonna have to pack a lunch if you're gonna deal with him all day long. But here's where it always gets thrown off. You look at his sack numbers. He had 1.5 sacks last year. So your immediate thought is, what? He's supposed to be a big-time guy? What's going on here? I'm seeing more and more of that coming out of college football where the numbers don't match the potential or don't match the grades. And I have to learn. I had to teach myself to be very careful to not go, 1.5 sacks, you guys are kidding me, right? I'm done with him. Because I would be wrong. Okay, Trayvon Walker coming out of Georgia was not a huge sack guy. I think he's been double digits in the NFL. All right, Chop Robinson coming out of Penn State last year, 4.5 sacks last year, and everybody was just raving, Chop Robinson, got to get Chop Robinson. Chop Robinson, 4.5 sacks. Yeah, well, he had a really good rookie year. Remember when Adafe Owe was known as Jason Owe coming out of Penn State? 0 sacks his senior season, first round pick. So I have to learn these things because it's not just a sack number. What kind of pressure does he create? Does he muddy up the pocket? Does he chase the football really well? Does he stay at home when the ball goes away and then the reverse comes back at him or the misdirection? You have to see all these things. And then again, what are the traits and what do you have on your coaching staff as you think can bring it all out? So a lot that goes into this and a lot more than even I explained. But my point being, I've had to train myself, don't just look at the raw numbers, because the raw numbers may fool you, because some guys can have some really big raw numbers and not be a great pro prospect. But with this kid, Stewart, 1.5 sacks, we watched him yesterday. He was dominant at times, coming off the edge and working over offensive linemen. So, like what I'm seeing from him, you mentioned Skorton coming in, who had been a Purdue transfer. Yeah, they had some pretty good players across that front, didn't they?
Yeah, I'd say so. We've got NFL analyst for CBS Sports and NFL Network, Charles Davis, joining us. You can catch him throughout the day, throughout the week, right, on NFL Network, holding it down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. By the way, thank you for getting up so early to join us this morning, Charles.
Oh, that's okay. This is going to sound crazy. I was up before your call. Your call was not my wake-up call, thank goodness.
Good.
I had some work to do, and then after that, I got to go work out because – this body, oof, it requires a lot of work.
Stop, Charles. Well, I want to shift gears real quick here because Mike McCarthy now withdrawing his name from the head coaching vacancy in New Orleans. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Typically, when people withdraw this late in the process, they feel like someone else is getting the job.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of where I've been over the years. Does it make me right? That's just kind of the sense I get. It's two things, really, Tiffany. Either they feel like someone else is getting the job or they're not going to get what they want out of the job. You know, did they want to bring certain assistance? Did they want a certain amount of money? Did they want, you know, those sorts of things. What is their say in the final roster? Maybe that doesn't match up. It could be anything. I don't know because I'm not in those negotiations. But I have been around a little bit and experience has taught me when it's this late in the thing, maybe he's not the one. I don't know. We'll find out as we go on. But you don't typically pull out of the process late unless you either have something else, and there's nothing else out there, right? This is the final job as we know it right now, or maybe this just didn't match up for you and them. So we'll see who they end up announcing and naming. I think like it's kind of centered in on Kellen Moore, I believe, who's the offensive coordinator, who had been in Dallas, you know, been with the Chargers, now with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what it feels like. But again, that doesn't make me right.
Hey, Charles, just real quick, man. Got about 10 seconds here. Just want to get your thoughts on the Falcons bringing in Jeff Ulbrich as their defense coordinator. Seems like a good fit. Seems like he knows Raheem really well.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. And he knows Raheem well. Raheem knows him. They have similar thoughts about how to run a defense. Brick's a heck of a motivator and a heck of a guy that people like to play for. And just remember, before he took over as the interim head coach of the Jets and had to do all that other stuff, what did we all say about the Jets each and every time? Best part of their team is their defense. Aaron Rodgers was supposed to provide the offensive side of the ball to match that. And if they did, the Jets would have been contenders. It just didn't work out that way. But I think the Falcons got a great one.
Charles, thank you so much for joining us bright and early. And have fun.
Hey, thank you.
Make sure you get a nap today.
You know this old man. Nap and a little Geritol. I'll be good to go. You guys take care.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here.
Appreciate you, CD.